Okay, we are plugged in and ready to go. It's Thursday night here in Sydney, Australia. You're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Adam. And everything's up on my website, crassfiles.com. Website going really well. Everything's linked up there now, so a big website, and please enjoy. You can contact me, of course, through there. And thanks so much to the members out there for your ongoing support. It really helps me in these times to keep a big website like that up and running and doing these podcasts and just keep talking and getting the guests on and keep going. It really helps. And if you're out there and you hear some of these podcasts, you can become a member too for just $5 a month on my website. It it helps me a lot, and there's lots of great content there as well. And I also do my own podcast to break down everything that I'm seeing around me. And each week I try to do that, sometimes more. Just depends how much information's coming through. It's just so overwhelming at the moment. So those are in the members area as well. And the members also get all the podcast archives that go way back, and some of them now should be going out in the RSS feed. Like this one should go out in the RSS feed. That seems to be going okay, and the YouTube channel's up, and I'm still on social media outlets, so check that out. There's plenty of ways to get some information and share it, and always comment and let me know what you think of everything that we're doing here. But tough times and weird times. We just keep plugging in to break down all of this and what's going on around us as best we can. And, there's not much else we can do, but Tony Sayers, you're back, man. Yeah, back in the chair. It's good to have you back on. It's been a little while since we last chatted. And how have you been? You've been through a few pretty big changes. It's a weird situation, isn't it? I keep likening this to the Twilight Zone, like an old episode of the Twilight Zone. We've all just woken up in this old episode of it, and we're in some alternate reality. I feel like it's a dream where I'm going to wake up and say, man, I had this weird dream last night where everything was shut down. There was nobody in the cities and there was this weird virus. And it really is dreamlike to me. It's a really strange situation to be in. But, you know, we've always been called conspiracy theorists and tinfoil hat wearers and everything. But I think even most people with half a brain in their heads are now thinking, these guys were right, you know, like something is weird going on here. Something weird is going on here, and this is a little bit strange. We're going to talk about this and cover all this tonight, how this is affecting people, how we can, how we can be more positive in our lives and make changes there, because a lot of fear, and that's what I wanted to cover with you tonight. We always go back to that. It's such an important thing to break down. But how are you... how are you coping with all of this craziness, insanity? What's been going on in your world, Tony? Where are you at right now? Let us know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you couldn't write it, could you? I mean, like before, if you had a bad dream and you woke up and you think, oh, it was just a bad dream. Now it's the opposite. You're waking up and you're waking up in the nightmare. But I mean, in all seriousness, yeah, I mean, I've had a big change around from where I was over in Mexico, and I was kind of lasting it out there to see how things would go. And initially it looked quite calm. The Mexican president was hugging and kissing people and in public, and, you know, there was no sign of a lockdown. And I thought, oh, maybe I'm in the right place here. Fast forward 2 weeks, there's military patrolling the beaches, and they're telling people that they're going to arrest people for if they don't wear a mask. And I thought, you know what, if I'm going to end up in prison, I think I prefer a UK prison over a Mexican prison. So, I managed to get home, which wasn't easy because, as I said to you before, the flights were cancelling. And so here I am, and my family wanted me to go into quarantine, and so I had to find someone to put me up. But, you know, my life, there's always someone else worse off than you. When I was leaving Mexico, there were already like people going through bins and stuff. I mean, they many people in Mexico have much to start with, and the area I was in Playa del Carmen is a tourist area, so they've basically shut all the bars, the restaurants, all the tourist attractions. So all the Mexicans that relied on tourism, you know, were left dry. And that impact is already going on very, it's happened very quickly there. Although now I think the Mexican government is giving people a certain amount of small money to buy essential items, whatever they deem essential to be. So yeah, back here now, and you know, just trying to. I went through a little bit of a dark period just before I left Mexico, because when you see all this rolling out, especially as you know what's happening, you can really. It's important that you don't spiral down. And I had a couple of days where my mind had been to places it's never been before, but. What I came to the conclusion was that these parasites in control, they want you to give up. They want you to feel like there's no hope. They want you to think that it's a done deal and that there's no way back. And, you know, there's a fork in the road really for all of us at this point, whereby we can, you know, we can allow ourselves to go down that road. And there's nothing wrong with kind of processing those thoughts. We shouldn't ignore those thoughts when they come up, but it's whether or not we want to get stuck there and stay there, and that's the decision that we have to make kind of in this community. Is, you know, are we gonna, despite all the madness around us, are we gonna let them beat us before we've even got started, really? And you know, I don't know about you, Adam, but I'm a bit of a stubborn ass, and I decided the latter. And I think since I made that conscious decision, I've really come to a, not acceptance around it, but it's almost like I feel like anyone alive right now, especially us in alternative media, it's like this is the moment we've been waiting for. You know, all right, it came completely out of the blue. I don't think anyone in the alternative media saw this pandemic or plandemic coming. And the scale and the speed in which it's all been implemented has taken us all by shock, really. But once you've processed where we are, it's like I'm looking at my life now and I'm thinking, right, this is the moment. This is what I've, all the years of research, all the inner work, all the things that I've learned to give myself a good platform. The time is now, really. So, you know, we can either go and bury ourselves into a hole, or we step up. And I believe that you, I, people listening to this podcast, we've all come here now at this time to step up to the plate. And I believe that each and every one of us all has our individual gifts and qualities that we can bring to the table, which will help bring this evil down. So I am feeling more positive about it. There's a lot of things that they've not managed to roll out in the past few years that they wanted to roll out. I mean, America's still armed. There's no third world war yet in Iran, and you know, the truth's coming out left, right, and center now. It's almost like there's too many holes for them to plug. Like the dam's breaking. So it's a dangerous time to be alive, but it's also a very beautiful time to be alive, because, you know, humans are starting to wake up, maybe not as many as we want, but it is happening. People are open now to asking questions. I've had more emails and messages than I've ever had over the past couple of months. People, I've even had apologies. I had an apology come through on my Facebook yesterday. This guy messaged me and he said, I owe you an apology. You know, I was quite rude to you some time ago and very ignorant, disregarded what you were saying. And he's like, now I see it all. So that's, you never know when that seed is going to sprout, so to speak. So there, like I say, it is concerning times, but it's also a time for opportunity and new beginnings. And I think us in the alternative media, we just need to keep driving it home, doing what we're doing, and, you know, the great podcasts that you do and putting information out there. And yeah, so there is a lot to be positive for as well.
Mm. Yeah, and I've covered so much on this podcast since really it happened in China, you know. I followed it pretty much from day one, and I knew this was going to happen. Once they were saying it was starting to spread, I knew this was all going to come down, you know. So I feel like, you know, here we've covered it so much, spoken to great people. We've covered all angles. We've covered the virus, the so-called virus itself, and how this simply cannot be. We've covered, you know, technology and 5G and pollution and contamination. We've covered so many angles about what's happening here to people, you know, on the ground. This whole repressive police state, which seems to be coming in, and it seems to be very technology-based as well. There's a lot of things happening with AI technology and smart cities and things like that. There's all this going in. There's a lot happening around COVID, as we say. But it's so deep and so confusing, and there's always so much to go through. I've always said here that I'm just going to focus on the things that I do know and what I can see happening, you know. But it's a really... You know, I don't think tonight I'll go over with you at all the virus itself, because I think we've covered that enough. Mm. And I think that, you know, the very it's like 9/11, Tony. We're talking to people about that. You know, after 9/11 happened, right up until this point, we know that the official story isn't true, and I think that's all that you have to know as a human being. You've got to be consciously aware that what they're saying is a lie, and that official story is not true. Because you can go down a billion rabbit holes, and you just can't get to the end of why it happened and who did it. And everyone's got an opinion, and this is what's going to happen with this, you know. So I think we just have to be aware that what they're saying is not true. It's false. And I don't believe in any virus. I think that that's a total whitewash. I think it's an absolute lie. And it's incredible what's happened and how they've manufactured this. I've spoken to great people, like chatting with investigative reporter John Rappaport on my one of the last shows. I asked him at the start, have you ever seen anything like this? You know, and he's been in the game for, what, over 40 years as a researcher. He's never seen anything like it. I asked my father, you ask your grandparents, you ask anyone that you know, nobody has ever seen anything like this. It is a very surreal situation that we're facing, where the planet has kind of been stopped, you know. And it's so surreal to see, as you were saying before, I think we started, just all the cities empty and all the train stations and airports and everything just shut down like that. And to me, it kind of, listening to what you said there about Mexico, it's very interesting, isn't it? Because we kind of had that in the UK a bit with Boris and others. It's almost like these people, these presidents and people who we think run countries, really don't have any power. Because it's like what you were saying there, you know, Mexico sort of was saying, well, let's get along with things, it's not too bad. And then some kind of force has come behind this and said, you lock down now, and they've done it. And that's what we've seen everywhere. We've seen countries that didn't really take it too seriously, and then this kind of force came in, you know, on top of everybody and pushed all of these draconian rules and regulations and restrictions and social distancing and everything through. And so the whole planet seemed identical in that sense. And now suddenly at the same time, I'm looking at many countries, they're lightening the restrictions, the exact same restrictions at the same exact time. And, you know, a virus just doesn't work like this. If this was a pandemic virus, it would be devastating. Everyone we know would be sick, you know. I mean, it would be a much different world. And nobody that I know has had this. I have not seen one person even cough here. In fact, they're saying the best place to be in the world is South Australia.
Really?
Because they just don't have any cases. It's just untouched there, you know. And, you know, New Zealand was pitiful. There was only a few cases and they locked the entire country down. I think they're still in lockdown, you know, for a few cases of what, the sniffles. So I think that this is a really bizarre situation, because it's not like something like 9/11, Tony, where they just did it. you know, and you were supposed to sort of accept it. I mean, this is really strange situation, because giving people so much time to think. And I think what you're seeing in America with protests and all around the world now, people are saying this just doesn't make sense. They're not going to shut the entire planet and destroy economies and destroy our lives and just destroy everything because of a cold or a common sort of flu-y thing. And more people die in the US, a lot more every year from their flu season. And same in Australia. We have more deaths, I think, in 2017 than this. It's only, 70-something deaths in Australia. And a lot of them have been elderly people in nursing homes with pre-existing health conditions and problems.
Is it 70?
Like we saw in Italy. The same thing. Yeah, people were sick already. So we seem to, in Australia, they were desperate to just keep tallying up the numbers that people were dying of this. And it got really silly, and we'll talk about that more with you, but I think people are starting to question this, and I'm definitely seeing that in the US. They want to go back to their lives, and they want the machine started again, and they're saying this is ridiculous. You don't stop economies and stop the planet for a cold, because, you know, we're hearing very strange things that the hospitals aren't. I just spoke to a woman the other day her son broke his arm and he had to go into the hospital. She said there's no one there. And this is a new hospital around where I live. There's no one there. And there's no staff. It's empty. And it took them ages to wait for a guy and everything like that. So we're hearing this quietness going on in the hospitals that this is not what it is. And so, you know, I've been racking my brain trying to work out what the hell is going on, what they're doing behind of all of this, and what is this really being done for. But then, does this drive you crazy, Tony? I mean, have you in any way as a researcher been able to work out what is really going on here? Do you think it is all ushering in a new world order system or sort of a technocratic kind of new world order system where everything's controlled and run and we're all watched by technology? Because I'm getting a good feeling and a bad feeling with this, but I can't explain it. I've had a funny feeling in my gut. You know, we talked a bit with you about the belly gut feeling. I've had kind of a weird off feeling, you know, almost like a seasickness feeling in my stomach since this happened. You know, and I have been worried because I don't like being locked down like you do as well, man. We're humans. I don't want to be locked down in around a city. And this is not, it hasn't given me a good feeling at all. Are you getting that, this kind of, I can't work it out. Really strange.
Fear is their currency, isn't it?
That's right.
They control people by fear. And I've seen it with people around me. You know, as soon as this was announced as a pandemic, that you could just see it in the face. You could feel it. You feel it now when you go out shopping. Everyone's in a mask and gloves. And people are just so panicky right now. And you know, that's the frequency they need to keep us in to be able to control us. And on a deeper metaphysical level, you know, you have all these entities and distorted forms of consciousnesses that are kind of feeding on all that fear energy as well. So it's an absolute fear feast at the moment. Just going back to the nurses and the hospitals, one thing that's really disturbed me more than anything out of all of this is that I've actually had to come to the conclusion that people in these care industries are actually not as caring as we thought they were. Not all of them. There are a lot of good people, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you're hearing of people just not resuscitating, not giving old people their meds in care homes, you know, forcing these ventilators on people when, you know, the ventilators do kill them, putting down COVID when they died of something else to cook the books, taking money for putting down COVID, $13,000 in America for putting down a COVID death and $39,000 for using a ventilator. And then they're out doing TikTok dances and like, even if, you know, even if they there was this, like, massive pandemic, that's such a middle finger to people that may have died from this illness. I just don't get it. It seems to be the people that there seems to be a lack of heart, and actually a lot of these people in these industries, that it's almost like third degree murder, because they're getting their orders just like the police and the military, and they're just following them, and people are dying that could have been saved. You know, old people, sick people, cancer, people with cancer not being able to see or get their quote unquote treatments. That's up for debate as well. But what are the people in these hospitals and these care homes and all these other, you know, government serving industries, what are they doing? You know, it's like you can blame the elite, you can blame this controlling force all you like, and yeah, at their core they're evil, but who are the people that are doing this? It's always been that way. It's the glue that holds all this together are the order followers, you know, the military that go to war and just kill innocent people. They're in countries they've got no right to be in, dropping bombs on goat farmers and then speeding off at a million miles per hour in their F-16. You know, like, I mean, how cowardly is that? And then they come back and we call them heroes. You know, police officers, I've seen videos of police officers arresting women that are having a picnic with their child. You know, what it seems to be that I don't know where we lost our heart, but it seems to be over the last few decades, and a lot of it's mind control and promoted this narcissistic type society that we live in, where everyone's out for themselves. It's me, me, me. Well, if I don't resuscitate that guy, I potentially might lose my job. So, you know, it gets to the point where people's paychecks are more important than their own moral compass. And I don't know how we reach these people. I mean, I've spoke for years about the need to get to the minds of the military and the police. And, you know, we do it to ourselves. You know, talking of solutions, well, one of the main solutions has got to be to people in these industries, stop what you're doing. You're not heroes. And then even worse, we're clapping at 8 o'clock for them. The soldiers are coming back classed as heroes. I mean, it's such an inversion. This world is full of inversions. You know, peace, freedom is slavery and all that. Orwell, doublespeak. They invert everything. And the thing is with the military and the police, they're kind of sectioned off from society. They're not allowed. I don't know if they're allowed on social media, but they stay in barracks. Military do anyway. And so they're very much segregated for a reason. But, you know, until these people start having their own awakening in these industries, we're always going to be up against it, because these enforcers are the glue that holds everything together. And, you know, I remember the only time I did get through to a load of, well, I've got a few funny stories about the military. One time I did a video that went viral in military circles, and their minds are like childs. They're like children. The abuse I got was you know, saying things about my mom, like really low level, like low consciousness kind of backlash, really, that you would expect in school. These are the minds that we're dealing with here. So I don't know how we get through to these people, but it's people in these industries that are doing this. It's not actually, you know, the Illuminati or the shadow government or the deep state. They're barking the orders, which are evil, but it's humans that are doing this to other humans. And if anyone's got any ideas of how we reach these people's minds, then I'm up for it.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And just looking at an article now, Tony, talking about America's super rich, seeing their wealth rise by over $282 billion in 3 weeks of this pandemic, and Mr. Bill Gates is one. So you have these billionaires they've gotten this more wealth in the past 3 weeks alone than ever, really. This is prior to 1980. And this is a new report that came out from the Institute for Policy Studies, found that while, you know, tens of millions of Americans have lost their jobs and everything due to this this pandemic, as they call it, America's ultra-wealthy elite have seen their net worth surge by $282 billion in just 23 days. But in just 23 days, we seem to have lost more rights than in our history's, in our country's creations, you know. We've lost more rights in Australia and civil liberties and health freedoms than ever in this country. I mean, some of the things they're doing would take years to get through. With, you know, vaccination policies and medical things and social distancing orders and stuff they're ramming through our parliament and legislations, it would just take, because you have civil liberties groups and rights groups, and you have, you know, other parties, minor parties and independent parties that challenge this on the floor of parliament, if you believe in government. But if we were just to look at the government sort of issue here, then, you know, this would take a long time and they will make a big drama about it. But they've pushed through things that you just can't believe. I don't know how it is in the UK, what you're seeing, but we have been talking about this, you know, because they were saying that they were just doing, putting these new, you know, very heavy-handed laws in, and I'm seeing it, you know, I'm seeing it. I saw it just last weekend out, you know, I was saying on my last podcast, Tony, they got black helicopters going over the beaches here as well, flashing blue and red lights, you know, and then you're being told that you have to move on, you have to be exercising, you can't sit. And they've got these groups of these people wearing these vests who aren't even police or anything. They're nobodies going up and down the beaches and parks telling them, people, that you can't sit down. You're telling me in my own country I can't sit in a park bench? I can't sit down on a beach in my own country? That's what you're telling me, you know? So it's really crazy, but most people are complying to this, you know? To the point now where there's a police officer or two will be down the beach or park and they'll all pack up and run. People are kind of scared, and the social distancing, you know, which I went over deep in a last podcast on Tot News with Ethan. I was a guest on there for the listeners. We talked for 3 hours about this, the effect this is having on people's minds. The social constructs here, Tony, that seem to be being reshaped and changed forever, as in how we act as a society, you know, which is so much more interesting to me than any virus, you know. I never looked at the virus from day one because I don't believe in their viruses. I know now, as a human being, that nature is not out to get me with viruses, that this is all made up, and it's part of the fear paradigm to keep us in control. And it's the same thing as AIDS. You know, they did that, I remember, in the 1980s and scared the hell out of everybody. But it's never been isolated, HIV causing AIDS, never been isolated. It doesn't matter what anyone says. None of their viruses have been isolated. So people are working this out now very quickly. And we're living in a time now, Tony, where I do see a lot of fear in the public and a lot of people stepping into line and doing what they've told. I've seen some, I'm sure as you have, some incredible things where basically situations in supermarkets where they have dots that you have to stand on to be 1.5 meters apart, and people waiting in lines with masks on with their heads down 1.5 meters apart, and people being told you can't sit, you have to do this. Yet they're all just doing it, and we're all inside, and it's a crazy situation to be in, because what they're doing is totally illegal. And no one's exercising their rights, their sovereign rights, and saying, you know, and learning this, they're just taking it. And but in you know, I don't know how long you can push people, because it gets to the point in big countries, as you were in Mexico, and I saw a lot of protests in Brazil and around the world, where people don't have stimulus packages to back them up. The government here in Australia are throwing around billions of dollars. They're paying for everything, you know, but we're going to have generations of Australians in debt because of this, which is not good, you know. But in countries that rely on their jobs to feed their families and themselves, they can't go on any longer. They have to start the machine up again. And a lot of people, Tony, I'll get your opinion on this, they feel like this could be a way to crash the global economy and a good way to bring in a cashless society, to bring in a new world government as we race towards 2030. And I do believe that the Australian fires had a lot to do with this as well. And I've always said I'm not religious at all, but it's almost biblical, Tony, the fires, the plague, the mark of the beast. And so, you know, I don't think that that is, like, biblical writings or what we see in the Bible or texts, or that doesn't always mean what it says. It means that we have to look at it and then, you know, make up our own mind. We have to critically think about some of this information that's always been there in front of us and work it out and apply it to what's happening now. But I think, you know, in regards to global warming and, you know, smart cities and new technology and clean green technology and this kind of whole thing that we talk about, this new green religion that's coming down the lines, we've forgotten about that, the fires in Australia, but that's coming as well. There's a lot coming there if we just look at that, but everyone's forgotten about that now. But this COVID-19 is another aspect as well, because I'm seeing a hell of a lot, as I said, technology and very invasive, scary technology. And I don't want to feed the fear thing, Tony. I'm just saying this is very, very, very different technology that I'm seeing. You know, I'm seeing being implemented in Australia. The technology that's being handed to the police force is ludicrous. And these lockdowns, if you're said to have this fake COVID-19 virus, and you don't lock yourself down, they're putting cameras in where you live and all this, watching all of this and all of this stuff. But, you know, the media itself, I said that this on the show to John Rappaport, I feel like if I look at this whole situation, it's really been a media mind war. Because if you turn off the TV and throw away the newspapers and just don't have anything to do with it, this virus disappears. You wouldn't even know it's there. And that's what we keep saying. If you want a cure for the COVID-19, turn off the TV. Turn on the TV, you have the virus, because they're telling you you have it. And then you believe it. And I know people who are like that. I've talked to a lot of great people who are good people, Tony, but they're so scared that they're going to get this virus and their kids are going to get it, that they're willing to lose their rights and lose anything that they have to, and stay inside and bow down and not even be a human anymore, and download government apps that track and trace you wherever you go and do whatever they're told in order to not get this virus, because they want to protect themselves and their family. And that's what John Rappaport said. How do you bring down society so quickly in such a fast way? How do you control the whole planet so quickly and do this? You implement a story about a virus, and this is what we've been talking about, the domination of the pharmaceutical industry and doctors and drugs and the medical system have over people. They will look after themselves. They will buy organic. They'll jog. They'll exercise. They won't drink. They won't smoke. And they'll live these healthy lives. But when it comes to drugs and vaccines and what doctors say, and what the WHO say and the CDC and all of this, they just bow down and stand in line straight away. It's like this interwoven, you know, deep control that the medicine, so-called medicine or big pharmaceutical industry, have over human beings. And I think that's like the layers of an onion. It goes back in time, and I think the triggering that fear through the fear of you getting a virus, and it's a great way to control people. But I think what we need to do is try and get it out to people as they start seeing and start feeling that this is not normal and it's abnormal and something's wrong here, and hang on, I'm not seeing a virus. We need people to start seeing through this fear, because the virus just represents fear, Tony, to me. That's all it is. It's a word, and it's fear-based. Once they start to think, hey, there's no virus, and you take the virus off the table, what do you have left, Tony? What's there? You have to start making decisions then as to what this is and who's doing it. And that does scare people a little bit, but I think it's the only way we can get out of this. And what's your thoughts on that, Tony? What are you seeing being back in the UK after your travels? What are you seeing with the people there, and most importantly, the way that they're acting and thinking over in your part of the world? Are you getting heavy restrictions there, or you'd be on par with what's happening in Australia, where it's kind of in the middle?
Yeah, I think we're probably on par, but I think just tying into what you were saying there, there's an underlying causal effect or reason why people act in so much fear over this. And that is the inherent fear of death that people have.
Mm, mm.
And so don't get me wrong, no one really wants to die, but you know, death comes to us all. They say that there's only two things guaranteed in life, and that's death and taxes. And it's completely correct. And the reason why there is so much fear of death from people is because they believe that they're just mortal. They believe that once your time's up, you're up, and that's it. Whereas, because they're not taught from school that actually they're just a point of focus for consciousness. They're just energy. And energy is just having an experience as whoever they are, and it will live on forever, and it will go and have another experience. So rather than see their life as just an experience, they identify so much to it, to the point that everything is finished at the end of it. And so that fear, that inherent fear, is triggered like anything else with this virus, because, you know, obviously people don't have that base understanding of quantum physics and how energy works, because of course they're not going to teach us that in school, because that empowers us. Because once you realize, oh, this is all just an experience and I'm just Tony right now, and then maybe I'll be I don't know, Lucy next lifetime, or George, or you know, and I might be living in India, or I might even be on the planet Zar as some kind of, I don't know, alien being, who knows? I might experience myself as a plant or a tree or a rock. Like, you know, we're infinite beings, and, you know, we're disempowered from school because we're not taught about the nature of this reality. We're not taught about anything that empowers us. You know, think about what you're taught in the school. You're taught to do is repeat. You're not taught about how to self-sustain yourself, how to be financially you know, acute. You're not taught about things that really matter. It's just made up stuff that, you know, you're rewarded if you repeat it well enough. So I think that the fear of death is a very big thing for people, and I think, you know, they use that to their advantage, obviously. Because if they said that this thing is just making people a bit sick, people would be, oh, all right, well, if I get the flu, then I get the flu. But, you know, obviously, the language is so emotive as well. Like, I went on the BBC yesterday, and they actually describe it as the killer virus.
Yeah.
And things like this, which is really just playing into people's fear. And, you know, the headlines that come in on the news, and the big bold letters, and even the colours that they use, certain colours appeal to our subconscious in a positive or negative way. So, for example, the colour red means alert. It's like traffic light. It's like stop. You know, it's very striking, and strikes to the fear as well. So that's why you see in a lot of the news programmes, they use the colour red. Along with blue. Blue is very appealing to the subconscious. So when you see the color blue, and they're telling you all this stuff on the news, it's just going into that subconscious mind. But the other thing that this ties into as well is that people are getting quite comfortable with this lockdown, worryingly. And so I actually had a conversation with someone yesterday. I put a video out, and he was like, oh, you're crazy, blah, 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 tinfoil hat, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And I was like, look, you know, let's just hope you haven't got kids, because, you know, they're going to grow up in... Oh, no, first of all, I mentioned about... I said, is it worth it, because, like, everyone's losing money and blah, blah, blah. And you know, we're basically slaves. And his actual response was, I don't care... I'll be a slave because the government is going to carry on paying 80% of my wages and my staff. So now we're seeing people actually being quite comfortable with the situation. They've got used to it now. This is the quote unquote new normal for people. And now we're at a stage where people are like, okay, I'm just, you know, I'm getting I'm getting covered. And in America, there's actually people that It would cost them more money to go back to work than stay at home. They're getting paid more by the government. And so the knock-on effect with this, and we're seeing it now in America, is that people are not going to work, and key industries are breaking down. At least not, and it's not a nice one to talk about, but we must address it, is the food supply. There's a breakdown. There's a distribution lines are breaking down, certainly in America. I've heard in Australia as well. And, you know, the crops are being left, you know, unharvested. They're being left to rot. They're closing down meat works. You know, there's no fruit pickers and stuff. So, you know, the fallout on that level alone is should be alerting people and getting them to think. But of course, you know, they're all eating junk food at home. Now in the UK, they're opening McDonald's, Burger King, KFC. And Greg's, you know, all the obviously key industries there. So they're all in eating their junk food, which is dumbing them down. Most people are on some kind of pharmaceutical, which is dumbing them down and takes away their emotional response to things. And the main thing that it ties into as well is a lack of self-love and self-care and self-respect, because any person that has any ounce of self-love or self-respect would no way be happy with being told that they can't go outside and can't go to the park with their children. You have to have a very low self-worth to accept that situation. And so it ties into so many different things, other things as well. You know, the whole idea that the government would never lie to us, and that Stockholm syndrome that people grow up with through life, where, you know, the state is always there to save them. So there's many kind of mental dynamics that this ties into as well, that are kind of keeping people at home. And where initially people were like, oh, this is not right, now people are starting to warm up to the idea, which is going to make it harder. So anyone listening to this, that this kind of information for the first time, is it's not okay. It's, you know, the government might be paying for you to stay at home, but in the meantime, your rights and freedoms have gone down the toilet roll, the toilet, and they're putting up CCTV and cameras and all this kind of surveillance state, this police state. So, you know, you've got to ask yourself, like, are you going to be happy with that? Are you going to be happy to leave that world for your children and your grandchildren? You know, it ties into me. Yeah, all right, you're getting your wages paid. But what are the larger consequences of what we're seeing here? And I think that many people stuck in their homes now are having a bit of a knees up. I mean, I see it on my social media. There's always alcohol there, barbecues. It's like people are loving it. A lot of people are loving it. And that is alarming.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And I've covered the same aspects there. It is really unbelievable, and you know, while a lot of us are being locked in our homes, you know, I'm that kind of guy that lives in a tent, Tony. You know, I don't want to be told to stay at home, but a lot of them, yeah, they're okay and they're enjoying it, which is amazing. And in Australia, the money's been unbelievable. They're paying for everything, you know. A lot of people are working from home, and they're paying for your childcare, and they're paying for all sorts of things. And, you know, you watch the TV, there's endless ads of now McDonald's and all the junk food companies doing home deliveries, and it's touch-free. That's what they're saying. And there's a new system being built in Australia, and it's all touch-free stuff and facial recognition, technology that's going to be implemented. You know, it's all these new apps and things, you know, and this doing away of the technology that we're used to bring in this new kind of technology but people seem to be okay with that.
Can I ask you a question on that yeah. app? What is the current enforcement of that at the moment? Are they saying you have to download it, or what are they saying?
It's a government app that you download from the app stores and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a track and trace app. And what they're saying, yes, they're saying that about 40% of Australia. So just under half of Australians need to download this app in order to get out of this lockdown completely. So the Prime Minister came out just about a day ago from what I was reading and said there's only one way out of this situation that we're in, that everybody downloads the app. And so from what I heard the other day, there was over a million already, but the media lie about everything, Tony. As you know, that's what they do. The media lie for a living. They tell you that, 95% of the population are vaccinated and you have to as well. Millions of people are downloading the app, but even privacy groups and civil liberty groups are very suspicious about this app, but the government are telling you that it's okay and there's nothing to worry about. But I'm not doing it, and no one I know has done it or going to do it, and I don't think they're going to get their 40%, to be honest. And they're threatening if they don't get that 40%, they're going to make it mandatory that you have to download that app. And so I was asking the question, if someone visits your house and they have that app on their phone but you don't have it, does it know that they are at your place? From what I have heard, it's kind of works off each app. So if you've got the app and your friend's got the app and you come together and you're a certain amount of meters apart, then it connects and it works out whether you've had that or you've been to the doctor or anything like that, and all goes back to this database and everything that they're building. And this is what's happening in Australia now, and with everybody losing their jobs as well. They're building a MyGov app at the moment. So Centrelink is the government payment system, like the dole, as we used to say. If you want welfare benefits, it's called Centrelink in Australia. And, you know, millions of people have gone into that system now because of payments. They've got JobKeeper payments and payouts and all sorts of things, and they're doubling payments for people who are already on there. And, you know, I can't blame people, because if you've got to pay your rent and you've just lost your job, which millions of people have, everything's shut here, pretty much. They've gone into this new system. And what's interesting, and we've covered a lot, is they're creating a new MyGov. And if you go on the MyGov website, it's actually a matrix-looking thing with a fingerprint on there. And so they want you to download the MyGov app to get kind of payments. From reading Ethan at Tot News, which I covered on one of my last shows, because he's a big tech guy in Australia and covers all this, it's very interesting to read, because they needed to beta test this app because it's a new one and it's so tremendously huge. And this COVID situation has given them that perfect opportunity to test it on the public. You know, because you got God knows who in there now. And, you know, people who work for cash and worked at markets and have their own jobs and get their own money, they're all in this system now. And this AI system, Tony, it's going to full, you know, facial recognition and stuff. So basically the kind of things where this will incorporate everything, I think, tax and study. Because now to study in Australia, you've got to have a student ID. It will be, I think, everything, really. Having a job, everything that you want to do to just live in, you know, like we have been before this, but just to live your basic life, you will use this MyGov app. I think that's what they're doing, because it's all part of an Australia card that they tried to bring in. I think that was way back, 80s or 90s. They tried it a few times to bring in this national identification card, and it just kept getting hammered because people didn't trust it and didn't want it and they couldn't do it. But here's this thing on steroids. And so it will bring in everybody in Australia into this one system, you know, and it will be on your phones. And when you want to pay your taxes, or you want to study, as I said, or get a driver's license, or you got to travel, or there won't be any more passports, I guess. All of this stuff that you need to do will go through this app, and you'll log in and hold your phone up to your face. It will scan your face and you'll go in and do your work. And it's this new AI technology is working in such a way that it will grab everything from you online. So any images that you've put out there, no matter how old, anything that is about you on the internet will go into this system. And it will it will build it in one place, you know what I mean? And that will be your ID. So as we've been talking to you about, you know, you'll go to travel and things, and the system will recognize you because we are becoming the machine. It will know who we are just by being near it, almost, you know. And it will just scan us through the airports or whatever we've got to do. And that's what they've been saying as well. You know, we need to do away with touching things and touching keypads, going to the bank and putting in your key number with your fingers, because it could spread COVID-19. So we need to do away with that. So that brings in the facial scanning as well. So they're building a huge system here in Australia, and putting these new cameras on the streets as our smart cities get well developed here, off this kind of what China are doing there on the back of that, what happened to them, that's on steroids there, and the social credit and all of this, and how you are in society. And what I'm looking at, and this is just through basically looking at mainstream media things and government articles and what they're saying, it really is Minority Report. That's what I said. They're creating this whole pre-crime society where they can judge what kind of person you are and everything like that. So I think that's where we're going. Yeah, and I found an article today from ABC News, and it was talking about these military planners in Australia, and they're basically saying that, this is from ABC News in Australia, Tony. It's saying, this is the heading, think of coronavirus as a test run. I'm not kidding, I'll send this to you. And it says, Australian military leaders warn we must prepare for worse. And it's got a picture here of empty shelves and empty supermarkets. And a friend of mine who was in the government, in the Liberal Party, Jason Woodforth, who I talked to, he said, yeah, he was talking a lot about this, how these big W's, you know, like Kmart kind of places are shutting down here. It's very strange. And so these Defense Department people are talking about this second wave, Tony, which we've been trying to get our heads around. They're going to kind of let us out a little bit, and they're going to let people go and go to the beach again, and they're going to let us, maybe a few of us, go back to work, and they're going to tighten the grip from around our throats a little bit more in the next few weeks. We're hearing restaurants and things are going to open again in Australia, but we're hearing of 2021 a second wave hitting. And what's your opinion on this? Is this a way to keep people in fear, in a fear state, to keep this COVID thing going and not really take away the social distancing as all this new system gets built around us? I'm just interested in that second coming they keep talking about. As I said, it's pretty biblical, but they keep warning and telling us that something else is coming. Have you heard this, and have you been able to get your head around what might be going on here?
Yeah, well, Bill Gates mentioned it the other day, didn't he? Phase two. But also, I first heard it, must have been about 3 weeks ago now, from Trump. Trump was doing a press conference, and he was saying that he actually said it's going to come back in the autumn. So I think we have to kind of prepare ourselves for the fact that they do have this. Because the thing is, the precedent's been set now. You know, they've put us in lockdown. We've never had this before. No, you know, everyone has been shocked by it. But now it's happened, and even more so as I discussed then, that people are actually quite comfortable with it. There's nothing to really stop them now from saying, okay, we're going to go down into lockdown again as part of the new normal, you know, to fight this killer virus that we're told about. But, you know, the solution, you know, that like they come across all powerful, but really they're not. I mentioned in another interview I did yesterday that film, The Bug's Life, where the grasshoppers are bullying the ants, and I think the grasshoppers say if ever they realise that, you know, that because they've got the numbers, they're more powerful than us, then that's our life over, and then all the ants start to realise. So, you know, they want all these things, but it's down to us whether or not they get them. And that comes down to saying no in enough numbers, to not complying, to not acquiescing with what they want. Because the reason we're in this situation is because we've been yes men and women for decades. We've just gone along with what they want with no resistance, or very little anyway. So now really the way that we're going to reverse this is by saying no. I mean, like what you touched on then, you said no one's downloading the app in Australia. That's fantastic. You know, if no one's downloading the app in Australia, they ain't getting their way. And it's the same with the guns in America. They've been trying to ban the guns for the last 5 years with all these false flags and things like that. The American people have just told them to go and do one. And so they've not been able to do it. So it always relies on us as to how far they're going to be able to push this. You know, we all need to make, you know, we all need to not rebel. Rebel's the wrong word. I'm not talking about like going out in the streets and smashing windows, but we need to start not complying with this. And we don't have to do it in a, you know, a violent way. We just, you know, oh, you want us to download the app? Oh, I'm not doing that. Oh, you want us to do it, take it? I'm not doing that. And so we only have to say no in enough numbers, but it's the numbers that we need. You know, if there's a few dissidents just saying no, then it becomes difficult. This is why we need people to wake up. But, you know, we shouldn't view them as all power. I mean, they're parasites. At their core, these, well, it depends how deep you want to go with it. Psychopaths on the surface level, but actual probably demonic takeovers on a deeper level. They don't have, they're not connected to any kind of essence or any, you know, they don't have love in their hearts. They don't have creativity. You know, we are the ones that are powerful. We are absolute in our true potential. We're genius. You know, we're creative beings, multidimensional beings. And they hate that about us. They just want to look like they're the ones in power. And just like that film, The Bug's Life, we need to start getting the ants awoke and just say no. No, I'm not doing that. No, go to hell. And if millions and then billions can start doing that, then they've got no. We probably don't need everyone to do it. We need a majority of people to say no. I mean, they can't. There's not enough police. There's not enough military to go around to everyone's house and get them to download an app. I mean, it's or take a vaccine. It's just they just can't do it. So it's the solution is so simple. There are many solutions, but the main one is very simple, and that's to, you know, realize that we have the power, and start pushing back on this. And you can make little, you know, in your daily life, everything that you do, there's a cause and effect in the universe. So if you go out to the supermarket and everyone's wearing a mask and you don't wear a mask, that is a frequency that goes out into the universe, you know, a frequency of resistance, if you like. And we can all make, and also when you go out without a mask, you're telling people that you're not scared, that they don't have to be scared. All right, some might say, well, why aren't you wearing a mask? But some people will be like, look at that guy over there. He's not wearing a mask. Maybe he's not scared then. Maybe I won't. And so those little acts of defiance, no matter how small that we think they are, you know, like going to a shop. Oh, you don't accept cash, but lawfully and legally, you should be accepting cash, you know, using cash where possible. We can all make little acts of defiance, which all goes into the melting pot and, you know, can make people think and, you know, so yeah, all this stuff is going on and yeah, it sounds horrific and it's already having a very detrimental effect. And we're seeing that with deaths and stuff now, but if we could only realize our own power, and who we truly are, and just stop acquiescing this, if everyone woke up tomorrow and said, no, this is over. And they know that. It's just trying to get these messages out to enough people. And again, I appeal to people listening to this from your channels and my channels. if you just share this contact, share content like this. You know, it takes one click of a button to share this. Someone listens to it. Ah, I never heard that point of view before. That's all it takes. Then they go and tell another 10 people. Then they go and tell another 20 people. Just share the information. That really helps us all out. And, you know, so the solution is pretty simple.
Yeah. It's, I get pretty down, Tony, myself, when I see the real winners of the COVID-19, are Pornhub.
Oh, and Jeff Bezos.
Here are their stats. Yeah, massive stats. And, you know, unbelievable traffic for Pornhub, who are like number 3 or 5 ranked website in the world. Keeping us at home watching porn, keeping us at home watching the news that's telling us what to think and do, getting us to wear masks, getting us out of the sun, you know, scaring us, keeping us in fear. You know, it's an amazing system around me and what I'm seeing. And then I'm seeing these news stories now where, you know, people are being let out to play a little bit, Tony, and allowed to go and have a swim again. And they're just yippee, you know. They're like letting a little puppy out in the backyard to play that's got too much energy. They're just so happy to be let out by Big Brother that they just don't care about the lockdown or where they've come from or anything that's happening. They just want to get out there again, and they're just happy about it. And that's, that's what you alluded to before. Yeah, the government's paying people and they're just happy and they're becoming comfortable. And that was a good point that you made. They're becoming comfortable at home and getting good money. And it's like, well, screw it, you know. You know, I don't want to go back to work. I don't want anything like that again. I just want to stay here and watch Pornhub and drink beer at home, have a barbecue, as you said, and get governments putting in a check every week. And it's good. But it's this blinding aspect of all this because they'll be let out into it's really a Stockholm syndrome. That's what it exactly is. It's like being held prisoner, captive. Ooh. And then developing this bond for the person doing it. And then they let you out in the sunshine and you're just so happy to be outside. They're going to forget all about it. They're not critically thinking here and breaking this down. And on a chat to finish up today, Tony, but I know you do a lot of work on this, on a chat on I was just having on a Facebook group, just a private chat group, just going over things and covering things because I've had books about this from back in the 90s and I've been reading about this over and over again, and it's the one thing in my life that's always been there. And I'm thinking, the only thing that really kind of makes sense to me but would be too much for a lot of people and they just think, oh, you're a nutter, you know. The only thing that makes sense to me here is this is about a vibrational kind of frequency. I feel like if I could be positive, and I am about this, I feel like there's a change happening to human beings. And a lot of us recognize it. We're feeling it, but a lot, maybe they just don't recognize it, but it's there. And I think that, you've done a lot of work on this. As a human species, there's energies and there's a vibrational change happening that's shifting us. And I think that this may be what's happening. I don't know if you agree. Is this a last maybe ditch effort for these controllers, whatever name you have for them, on this planet, this entity that's been here our whole lives, that's ghosted us and controlled us and fed on us, you know? And I think people like David Icke got a bad rap because they say, oh, this is the lizard guy. I don't think it's about lizards or anything. I think that this is a force that can appear, that can be whatever it wants to be. I think that it's whatever we fear, then that's what it can be, you know? I think that me personally, I feel like there's something here. There's something that has been here for a long time, and I feel like this could be its last kind of effort to maintain and hold on to that fear. And I think that, as you said, we are starting to see how special we are. We're starting to see that we don't need these things, whatever it is, and we're starting to look through the fear, through that mirror of fear. We're starting to see right through the back of it. And a lot of people are just waking up to this now, and I'm seeing it over the entire planet. Just the protests happening in America, people are just saying, you know, we've had enough of this. They're basically putting their middle finger, Tony, up to this system, and they're not having it anymore. And a lot of people are feeling like this. And as you said, a lot of people go out and they lash out and they want to protest. It's just however you know, whatever way you want to display this. But I think behind it all, there's a change. And it's like a dimensional shift or something, Tony. You could explain it better to finish the podcast, but it's definitely this this deep change that's happening consciously and spiritually with human beings, and there's something here that wants to keep us in the mud and keep us bogged down with fear, and this is what they seem to be doing. Is this what you're feeling, and where do we go from here? What's your best advice for getting people out of the mud of fear and seeing through this virus and all their technology and reconnecting with who they really are, and getting through this together to perhaps maybe something much, much better on the other side of all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a book, it's called The End of All Evil. I forget who wrote it, but I recommend people to read that book. And I think what we're seeing here is the death throes of evil.
Seems like that.
Yeah, and you know, they're pushing things through so quickly. You can sense the desperation.
It's all on Bill Gates's face, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the guy is just desperate to vaccinate people.
He's desperate. Yeah, he's getting exposed more than ever. It's really good to see some of this stuff. I'm so positive about it. It's amazing.
Yeah. So you know, as bad as it seems on the surface, and you know, we might have to go through some tough times yet. But I do believe that we are on the cusp of the end of this evil. And it's actually a beautiful time to be alive. It seems really insane to say that. But what we're seeing now in this point of this timeline in history is probably something that's never happened. You know, we've been controlled for, God, eons probably. And there's more, thanks to the internet, actually. And this is another thing, how we can use their tools. I mean, the internet was created as a web, the World Wide Web, the internet. So it was created to control us. But we've turned the tables, you know. Social media, people now have more trust in social media than the mainstream media. And I don't think that they can take social media fully down, because it would be so obvious then to everyone else that they've got something to hide. They might be able to censor stuff and, you know, take certain people down off YouTube and stuff, but I don't think that social media is going anywhere. And so, you know, it's a true battle between the dark and the light. And what we do now is going to make an impact, no matter how small you might think it is. And so where I am in my life now, and I said this to you off air, is like, I've kind of handed my life really over to the divine, and I serve the divine through me. And what I want now is kind of secondary to my mission, really. I mean, I never really wanted to leave Mexico, trust me, to be back in the cold UK. But, you know, I accept that's, you know, there are worse people off than me, and this is where I'm meant to be right now. And it's making the maximum impact that you can in your own circle, however big or small that might be, and asking the question to yourself, you know, what can I do to kind of help in this whole awakening process? Because we need everyone on the playing field, and you know, it's different for everyone. Not everyone's gonna, you know, make YouTube videos or write books or speak on a world stage, or, you know, for some it's you know, just having a conversation with a friend or raising a conscious child, or, you know, it's whatever your thing. Maybe it's through your art or your music, getting messages through. So whatever your thing is, now is the time to really express that, and through expressing who we truly are and expressing our gifts, you know, that's how we're going to change things. So ourselves maybe spiraling a little bit, just have a word with ourselves. You know, they want us to do that. Reconnect with your spirit and your soul. Realize that you're more than just a human being, that, you know, you're here probably on a mission, and, you know, there's a higher purpose. And I'm trying to think along those lines now. And yeah, I see the evil going on, and I see what they want to bring in. But I know that at the end of the day, they're more scared of us than we are of them. And that's what we need to remember.
Mm. Yes, it's, as you said, it's very interesting times, isn't it? It's so interesting, and it's the only conclusion I can come to, Tony. It's just that there's a battle almost going on, you know, for us, for our very beings, for our souls, and it really does make sense. And I think, you know, for anyone even looking into this, you would have to say to yourself that it's always been about fear. And I think that once we collectively start to, you know, throw off those shackles of fear, then whatever is behind this just can't continue, because obviously that's what its food is, fear, and it can't continue here. So I think, boof, it's gone.
Can I just,
it really is amazing that that's all it's about, Tony, a state of mind, just fear, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a deep thing to get rid of, man, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, just on that, the film The Wizard of Oz is perfect depiction of this. The Wizard of Oz is very occult, and when you look at the characters in that, you have it's telling you the story of what we are. So you have Dorothy, and you have the Scarecrow that doesn't have a brain. You have the Tin Man that doesn't have a heart, and you have the Lion that doesn't have any courage. And those are the three things that we need to engage. And then you have Toto, which is your intuition, leading along the path. And then when they get to the Wizard of Oz, and they've engaged those three things, and they pull back the curtain, there's an old man there, you know, and that's the big scary Wizard of Oz is just an old man. And it depicts our reality, because that's what we're dealing with. We're really dealing with something pathetic behind the curtain that's masquerading as all powerful.
Mm, yeah, it's always been like that though, isn't it? Mm. And it's a hard one to explain, but I've always said that whatever this thing is, it's so cowardly, it's manipulated us into controlling ourselves. And what I mean by this is it's done it in such a way that we kind of not only attack ourselves and police ourselves, but we control ourselves through this fear. And we have wars and everything like this, you know, even right up until this COVID situation, you know, we as society, Tony, have created dobber hotlines where we're dobbing each other in. We're dobbing our neighbors in. We're dobbing our own friends in because they're not standing in line. You know, with the COVID-19 rules and regulations and restrictions and everything. And we actually do. I've looked into it, and other people are telling me it's happening where they are. There's people dobbing everyone in, you know, and telling the authorities on them because, you know, you know, what you're doing is selfish and everything like that. And we want to go back to our lives. And if you have a barbecue with your friends, then you could make things worse. If you don't download the government app, then we're not going to get out of this quicker. We want to watch our sports. We want to go back to our lives. We want our lives back. And you're stopping that. So do what you're told, you know, and we can all go back to things and get along with this. So it's an incredible system that's happened, but all the while that we do this to ourselves and we police each other, Tony, you know, it's amazing because this thing, this system behind this that's doing this to us, it never even has to touch us. It doesn't lay a finger on us. It manipulates us in such a manner that we attack ourselves and we do all this to each other and we run our own lives this way. And I feel like in that way, in that regard, we're doing this to ourselves now. We're the worst enemy because we're not seeing this and we're not waking up to it. I don't know if you agree with that, but it seems like that. I feel like it's almost a game being played on us, and we're the stupid ones and we're doing all this. And until we wake up and recognize it, it's not going to stop. We're our own worst enemy in that regard, Tony. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a game. You know, from a higher perspective, we're in a game. And how do you get out of a computer game? Well, you have to keep leveling up. You have to look for the little cheats. There's plenty of cheats in this game. There's always ways around things. And, you know, you have to get through the bosses. And, you know, that's where we're at. We're in this game, and it's a very difficult game. But, you know, we just need to go through the levels to get out of it. And so I've really shifted my opinion on this. And, you know, the other thing I'd say as well to people is it doesn't matter how you die. It matters how you live. And, you know, that really is the important thing to take away here, because, you know, you don't want to look back on life and think, oh, I could have, should have. And, you know, I didn't speak up because, like, worried about what my mum thinks or my neighbor thinks. It's like, you know, we have to understand that our life, for our life to have meaning, means that we have to, you know, express ourselves freely and open our gift box. You know, some people will go through their entire lives without even looking in their gift box. So, you know, it's a very interesting time to be alive, and we should see it as a game on a higher level. If you can see it as a game on a higher level, you don't take it so seriously. And that certainly helped me cope with all of this, that it's now like the penny's dropped now, like, right, okay, this is like, we're on the final level now. You know, when you get onto the final level of, I don't know, Street Fighter 2, or I don't know what year you were born in or something, and the bosses got harder and harder and harder. Right, we're at the final boss now, and, you know, we've got one life left, so to speak. And so we can do it, and we need to keep looking after ourselves, you know, keep a sense of humor around it all, and just do what you know in your heart to be the right thing. And if you follow that, then you're on the right track.
What's your end thoughts and your gut feeling on all of this, Tony? What's your honest to God or honest to goodness opinion on all of this? Do you have a good feeling of where we're going? Do you think something good could come from all of this? Or you got that bad gut feeling?
I think good is already coming from it. For sure, that's already happening. I feel like there are going to be twists and turns, and, you know, we need to be prepared for that mentally, physically. But I do think that ultimately you cannot lock consciousness down forever. And that's essentially what they're trying to do. Is they're trying to lock consciousness down, and it can be done maybe for a while, but, you know, consciousness is everything. It's you know, trees, the consciousness, the table in your room is consciousness. We're consciousness. People can only forget what they are for a certain amount of time before maybe consciousness gets bored and says, right, I've had enough of this game now. So I do think that if we can come out of this, we're going to go to places. I've seen it already. I mean, God, some of the heart-based actions people are doing, even the offer for me, like the guy I'm staying with, I never met the guy. I put a post out, like I came back all of a sudden and I had four or five offers. There's a lot of people that are doing things from the heart, and of course they hate all that. That's why there's all this social distancing and all that stuff, so we can't connect and all that business. But humans in their true form are brilliant, and we need to, we're going back to remembering how brilliant we are. And I know when you walk around in the supermarket, it doesn't look that way, but it is happening. It's been happening over a period of decades, and that process is really quickening up now. And as more people start seeing through the lies here, they're going to be going through a very deep thought process, which is going to trigger them into going deeper within themselves, and that can only be a good thing. We've just got to be there as a community to support those people, be there for them. You know, I said the other day, like, waking up right now is going to be a stretch for a lot of people. You know, I'm glad I woke up 8 years ago. can you imagine?
Yeah, I know. It's people have told me personally, Tony, that it's separating. It's separating them even from family and friends, you know, as well. Like, people who are so embedded in the system and with fear, they don't want you to come around, you know. And we were talking about this on other shows, you know, if you're what the media label you as, an anti-vaxxer, then people who buy into that fear and propaganda through the media and the newspapers, then they really don't want you around now. You know, and all of this, and that's what the media's been saying, you know. What are the anti-vaxxers going to do now? Because there's a real virus, right? And you can't be an anti-vaxxer anymore. And I've spoken to people, and one of my last guests, Donna, has had it, just people viciously lashing out. But I think this is a time where we can really settle, Tony, and work out who we need to be connected with. And I'm sorry, and I know it's a hard situation if you have stubborn family and friends, but really you need to work out, you know. If you're not connected and it's not working and they're going to lash out at you because of your beliefs and what you think, you know, your beliefs on what's going on here, then you may be time, Tony, to cut that and separate and move forward and start connecting with those like us and who understand. And you just can't waste your time anymore, Tony, because if you can't get through to people, it's only going to create anger and friction, and it's going to upset you, you know. I'm sure you know what that means, you know. You can't sit down at the dinner table or with a friend over a beer or something and try and convince them. It can cause fights, and I don't want that. I don't understand, even if people don't agree with you, why we can't have a solid debate and work out some things, but why we have to fight. But some people do go to that point, and I feel sorry in this kind of situation for people who don't want to vaccinate themselves or their families or their kids, and they're having this friction with their families who really do believe this virus and think that, well, you're an anti-vaxxer, you're the cause of all this, you know. It's creating some ugliness, Tony, within family units even, and friendships and things like that. But maybe that's for a reason, Tony, with this change that we're going through. We're not all going to think the same, and we're not always going to get along. But maybe this is a time that we will work out who really are important in our lives and who are real friends.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're at a point now where people have got a choice. There's a fork in the road. And, you know, people are either going to get on board with what's real and what's true and what's really going on, or they're going to continue to live the lie, and they're going to suffer. And you know, unfortunately, going back to, this is a battle, it's an information war, but it's also a battle for people's minds, hearts, and most of all, their souls. You know, these, at the deepest esoteric level, this is soul snatching that they want to do. And, you know, people need to understand that, all right, you might not want to hear any of this stuff, but essentially, if you want to follow that path of living in lies, you're selling your soul to the devil.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what the consequences for that are after this life. I don't know what happens. You know, I don't want to get all biblical, and I'm not religious or anything, but, you know, I know on a spiritual level, that's what they want. They want people's souls. And you know, are you going to be someone that sells their soul out, gets the vaccine, gets the microchip, and goes down that path? Or are you going to stand up for what's right, for what's good, and ensure that future generations, you know, have a better world to live in? So that's the fork in the road, and it's black and white as far as I can see. And you're right, it's causing friction and separation, but it needs to be like that, unfortunately, because, you know, we're at the 11th hour.
Yeah, that's right. It's this is it, man. I feel like we're at the crossroads. We are here. We've arrived, and it's time to move forward. And I'm going to take positives out of this. I'm just putting up information on my website that some of it is negative. I understand it's you know to do with technology and what they're trying to do, but people need to take this information I hope it creates awareness and you can work it out, because I don't want people just to be walking around their towns and places, Tony, and being watched and not recognize all these cameras and things and invasive stuff that's going in, and not ask questions and find out things. You know, it's all about questioning, asking, and awareness. And that's the key, and that's the big key to me now. You know, just being aware of this system around you, and once you're aware of it, then you can start breaking it down. And and work through this. But absolutely, man, it's an amazing time, Tony, to be alive. It really is. It's amazing. I don't know what else to say. It's just a phenomenal time to be alive. I can't believe it. It's like I feel like I'm in a cartoon.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
We've got to embrace it, and we've got to see it like that. We've got to see it as we're at the final level of the game, and. Yeah, let's not be brought down with fear with everything that they're talking about implementing. Let's stay on purpose. Let's stay focused, and together we're going to get through. It's going to be amazing times coming ahead, and it's going to be a roller coaster. But we just need to keep the eye on the prize, so to speak, and put the final dagger in this evil once and for all.
Great work, Tony. What's your immediate future look like? I guess you're locked down in the UK. What are your plans for now? You're just working from out of the UK, from home there, and staying there for now. Or are you going to get the bug to move again? Or I guess you can't. But I think things will normalize pretty quickly anyway. What's going on in your head, and what are your plans?
Well, I've always had the travel bug ever since I was 21. I went traveling. I'm so blessed in the fact that I traveled extensively. I've been to over 50 countries now. And, if I never travel again, I've lived the life of 10 people with what I've done in my life. You know, I never had kids and things like that. So I've had time and no responsibilities, so to speak. So, at the moment, obviously, I'm here in lockdown, and we'll see what happens with the flights and things like that. And it's hard to say. It's hard to say where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing, and that kind of stuff. Right now, I'm just pumping out information, trying to reach people's minds, and just serving the divine, you know, and just kind of trying to fulfill my purpose. And my reason for being here at this time, and I really see it now that clearly that's what it's about. You know, I'm here now for a particular reason, and someone's spare room, or living in Mexico, or wherever I might be, living out of the back of a van, or who knows, in a field, I'm always going to serve that force which I can feel in my heart and soul that I need to be serving. And you know, wherever that takes me, it takes me. And you know, I don't have fear. I just want to make as maximum impact as I can, and help inspire others and that kind of thing, really.
Is there some family and friends there, Tony, that must be a strange one for you to go back? Do you feel like they're bogged down in fear as well, or you feel like you can help there a little bit? Spend more time is what I mean, with people that you may have grown up with, or family, or people that you know around that might need some help there, and conversations to talk about this, or you feel like they're kind of too lost in the system?
Well, my my old friends I haven't spoken to for years, really. They thought I went nuts when I woke
up. You're in a mental hospital.
Yeah, but I have a good core of quote unquote awake friends here.
Good.
You know, all around the world, really, because I've been out there for a little while now, I'm in contact digitally with a lot of people and checking in on people, and they're checking in on me. And you know, you and I exchange messages, don't we? And you know, we have to be there for each other. I've got a guy that's been locked down in Italy for God knows how long. He's messaged me this morning. He's been locked down from the very start. So you know, I'm checking in on people. People checking in on me. And yeah, there's a lot of heart-based actions going on, and of course they hate all that. So yeah, I'm just trying to keep a positive outlook and not bypassing what's going on, certainly not, but I just need to be, I feel like I need to be at my best to serve at the moment. And yeah, that's my focus, really.
Good stuff. How can people contact you? The norm. I'll put up your links anyway. Any new contacts or ways to get in touch with you? You're still on social media anyway, and you got your website.
Yeah, I've got my YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, and my website, transcendingtimes.org. There's a contact page there if people want to email me. I'm happy to receive emails, and yeah.
Great stuff. I'll put up everything as well and some links. I just found another thing, a great thing going around about an official petition to defund the WHO, the WHO. This is one we want to go after, Tony. These people are irrelevant now, not needed in our modern society, and I'd love to start seeing these big ones fall. I really do feel like it could happen. We're on the verge of seeing these people fall. We're getting a lot of exposure now. A lot of these people have been exposed, like Bill Gates, and a lot of them, whether they have money or not, it's great to see the exposure, and I'd love to see the WHO just get shattered and cast out, Tony, because it's insignificant and unneeded and unwanted, and they're liars. And I think we can, if we're living in a day and age where we can start to see these big corporations and these big you know, people just start to tumble down in front of our eyes, then we gotta be on the road to something good and better. I really do feel like that, and we already are seeing it. It's amazing. So we'll see where this goes, and keep connecting with you anyway, because this is a great time to connect with you in the UK, and we'll do more podcasts and move forward and connect with you and your work and your YouTube videos and everything like that, and get that out for the listeners. Great work. Great to speak with you. Enjoy your day. Take care. Thanks so much for your work, Tony. You do so much. Always love talking with you and connecting. And we'll catch up again soon. Take care, man.
All right. You too, Adam. Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.